It's a Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. When DTE Energy Services announced it was shutting down the Shenango Coke plant on Neville Island next month, it made front page news in the business section of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette because, after all, it is a business decision. And the decision, while delighting environmentalists who see the facility as a major polluter in Pittsburgh and not much more, came as a shock to the 173 employees who work at Shenango and their union officials who were notified of the closure as they sat down to negotiate a new contract with the company. Here to discuss the implications of this closure are Pittsburgh Business Times reporter Matt Stroud. Matt, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Allegheny Front reporter Reed Frazier, no stranger to the program. Welcome back, Reed.
Thank you.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter at essspgh. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Your thoughts about the closing of the Shenango Coke plant on Neville Island. Matt Stroud, what is DTE Energy's explanation for closing the Shenango plant?
It's pretty simple, and we didn't get this information until late Friday, but they are out of customers. They have literally zero customers left.
How can that be?
They don't give a lot of specific information about what goes on at each of their specific facilities, but the impression I get is that over the last 3 years, the steel industry has declined significantly. You've had companies merging operations at different locations. They've gone from six industrial steel customers in 2012 down to two this year, and then down to zero.
So I'm sure a lot of this has to do with the condition of the steel market. What is it like, and how has it impacted this decision to close Shenango?
The steel industry is not in a good place right now. I had a conversation on Friday with an analyst who said that because we have a strong dollar, steel is expensive to produce in the United States, and so you're finding a lot of steel coming from abroad instead of companies deciding to make it within the United States.
Like from where? Where is it coming from? China?
China is the direction that most people talking about this are pointing.
So if I'm an American company and I need steel to make something, I'm assuming these are American companies making these decisions to go outside of the United States to buy their steel, to make their products?
As I understand it, right.
So we're looking at that's a significant decrease in the amount of in the purchasing of steel domestically, correct?
Right.
So, who are the companies maybe that do we know who used to buy steel? You know that would help a company like Shenango, the Coke Works there, that aren't buying it now, that are maybe going outside the United States.
What we know about is we know about AK Steel. AK Steel is a steel producer, and AK Steel was basically Shenango's last customer. They had two facilities, one in Kentucky and one in Michigan, both of which produced steel and had blast furnaces that were fueled by Shenango Coke. And they've decided to not use Shenango Coke anymore, and I know that the facility in Kentucky is idling. Like this month, it's supposed to close. The facility in Dearborn, Michigan, I believe that facility is going to be fueled with coke that comes from another DTE facility in Michigan. But that's where we are right now.
So is it a domino effect of the steel makers in the United States who are ordering from the Coke Works? They're no longer using the an American company like Shenango in their supply chain because they're not getting the same orders they once were, Reed?
That could be what's happening. It sounds like the international economics of the currency exchange rates, that kind of thing, is really kind of dominating the decisions that these companies are making. So it's sort of, it might be beyond a specific policy that one of the, you know, agencies in the U.S. can make, but just kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but it just sounds like bigger implications from the global economy.
And we're not really sure how much Shenango, or to the extent to which Shenango saw this coming. So I was speaking with Reed and a couple of our colleagues earlier. Shenango, DTE executives went on a media tour a month ago, speaking about how much money they were promising, that they had already spent a lot of money to make the Shenango Coke Works a better facility, and that they intended to spend tens of millions of dollars to improve it. And I did not get from the conversations I had with DTE executives at the time the impression that they were ready to close down this facility. And so, like I said earlier, they aren't giving a lot of indications about what exactly was going on at that facility. And they've said specifically that they don't talk about the operations at any of their facilities specifically. But something happened over the last month that made them feel like this facility needed to close down now.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to talk with our guests, Pittsburgh Business Times reporter Matt Stroud and Allegheny Front reporter Reed Frazier, who are with us here in studio talking about the announcement late last week that the Shenango Coke plant on Neville Island is shutting down. It has certainly implications for the business community, for the people who work there. There are also environmental considerations, which we'll get to in our next segment, but we're looking at it right now, purely from the business standpoint of things. To join the conversation, 412-246-2002, let's go to Bill in West Mifflin with a question. Hi, Bill. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Happy holiday, Paul.
Thank you.
Matt and Reed, first of all, I'd like to tell Matt, I salute Business Times for being the first one to put that story out online.
Thanks.
Is there a chance that DTE could restart this if the market does come back, or someone else could come in and buy it? I mean, are the permits, you know, air quality permits still valid for whatever the expiration date is? Or is this, you know, going to be something that's going to be eventually torn down, you know, and put in its grave?
Well, I guess I'll take a stab at that one.
Go ahead, Reed.
Your question. Yeah, that is a big... that's one of my big questions is, does this mean this facility is shutting permanently, actually turning the ignition off and, tearing it down? One of the things about coke plants that I've learned that is pretty remarkable is that you can't really turn the ovens off when you're running a coke plant, because when they go cold, for whatever reason, the sort of engineering of it, they will kind of destroy themselves, the coke batteries. So sometimes what they'll do at these plants is put them on what's called a hot idle, which means they stay hot, but they just don't produce any coke, just in case somebody else wants to take over or conditions improve. That's one of the questions I know that me and Matt have for DTE Energy, and I think it's an excellent one, is what does this mean for this Coke Works? Not specifically whether DTE runs a Coke Works on Neville Island, but will anybody? My understanding of the air permits is, well, I can't really speak to the air permits. I would imagine that whatever DTE Energy did to get its air permit, some other operator could come in and do the same.
Well, let me ask you this, Reed. Shenango Coke Works has been under fire from Allegheny County officials and others, as you know, and you as well, Matt. How has this, first of all, how has Shenango failed to meet county health emission standards? Because that has been one of the key concerns of the environmentalists and may have contributed to the situation that we're seeing now, right?
Yes. There's a lot of details that I could get into, but I think just the one key point that needs to be made is anytime you make coke, it's a very dirty process. You're baking coal at very high temperatures for a long time, and what's the gases and particles that are released when making this stuff is even worse than burning coal, just burning it for, say, a coal-fired power plant. So where a lot of this, their violations came is in sort of the opening of the doors to push the coke in and pull it out when it was done. And the way it's been described to me by Allegheny County Health Department officials is a lot of the problems that they were having were operational. In other words, it wasn't like they didn't have the right equipment installed at the plant, but that they weren't running the ovens properly at the right temperature, keeping the right pieces of equipment clean enough, and that what they were getting were these visible emissions from their coke batteries, from their smokestack, probably not the right word, but basically where smoke comes out. It was visible and visible smoke, and they really weren't supposed to have that kind of visibility in their smoke.
Well, the other thing that has come up, and I'd love somebody to explain this to me because it's certainly not something that I've had an opportunity to study, and I'm guessing most of our listeners have not as well, and that is that Shenango faces an investigation from county health officials on its use of emergency flares. What are these emergency flares that are being spoken of here? And can you explain what's going on?
I'll take a stab at it. One of the problems that Shenango has had, according to the county, is with power outages. Apparently, they have a lot of power outages at the island, and I know Matt might be able to explain why that is. But whenever there's a power outage, a lot of the pollution controls that the plant would run normally can't run because they require electricity to run. And a lot of times in industrial plants, instead of just releasing what's called venting of gases, they will flare them, basically burn them, because you figure burning it will kind of destroy 98% or 95% of the pollution rather than let 100% escape. So I think that might be part of the
issue. So emergency flares refers to a process that would take place in an emergency, like a power outage.
Correct.
Okay. So how much of the pressure then, Matt, might have factored into, and Shenango, as I mentioned, faced an investigation from county health officials. So if they're putting pressure on Shenango, and Shenango is saying, God, we've got people coming at us, business could be better, how much would that have factored into DTE's decision to close the plant?
From the conversations I've had with DTE execs, it didn't have any effect at all. The decision to close was purely a business decision. If you have zero customers, there's not really much that you can do. And that's what it came down to. They put out one major press release on Thursday, and then I was going back and forth with them on Thursday and Friday. And at no time did they say that the environment or the investigations into the facility played a role in their decision to shut it down.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Pittsburgh Business Times reporter Matt Stroud, Pittsburgh Business Times reporter Matt Stroud and Allegheny Front reporter Reed Frazier. Let's go to Tom in Pittsburgh with a question or a comment. Tom, hi. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I've worked at the Shenango facility before, and I know I was actually there last week. I know that they were blindsided by DTE with the decision to close. They were actually in the middle of taking care of some of those air quality issues they had. They were in the midst of running engineering controls and working with air quality professionals to get some of the issues they had taken care of. And if those problems were caused them to shut down, they wouldn't have ordered those expensive tests and everything. They absolutely had no idea that the plant was going to get shut down.
Well, that certainly makes sense, Tom, when you look at some of the reactions, including the quote that was in Matt Stroud's piece in the Pittsburgh Business Times, which broke the story, that United Steelworkers spokesman Charles Leonard says he's baffled by the decision because he says everybody did what was right, which would refer back to or acknowledge what you're saying, Tom. So, from what you know, Matt, were DTE officials, were they working with the union and the employees to make sure that they were doing something to lessen their environmental footprint in Pittsburgh and to make people believe that they were acting in good faith?
I get the impression that they were, which makes the closing of the facility that much more baffling, as Charles put it, to me, and as we're hearing from this caller now. I mean, so again, something major occurred in the last month, and probably more recent than that, regarding their customers, it'll be interesting to report that out and see what actually occurred.
And so then, Reed, we're not sure apparently if this plant is going to shut down. It could be sold, and that seems to be a viable option for a company in this day and age to sell a company, right, Matt?
Yeah, and they haven't said anything about it so far, and so it certainly.
And do you know why that is? Why they wouldn't have tried to do that, or is it because there may be negotiations and they don't want to talk about it?
They might be. They're definitely in negotiations right now. I know they're in negotiations right now with employees about severance packages and what they're going to do for them after these 173 people are out of work. But I know there's also considerations. I mean, this company is a going concern. It's going to continue operating, and so it's trying to think of its bottom line and how it can make the most amount of money that it can out of this facility that's apparently shutting down.
The company will keep operating, but this plant may not on Neville Island, and that remains to be seen. But if, Reed Frazier, if the plant were to completely shut down, how does that process work? How do you shut down a plant like that that's been there for decades?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, going back to what I said before, are they going to keep it on hot idle? Do they scrap all the equipment? Is there some sort of brownfield remediation from, you know, this was a plant that started operating in the 60s. You know, and I just wanted to go back on something that Tom said, the caller, and something that Matt mentioned. This company, I reported on this story like 2 months ago, and the company assured, you know, said that they were spending $41 million at the plant in the next by 2018. So that's a lot, you know, DTE is a big company, but that's still a lot of money to spend on this plant. And then for them to just shut down, as Matt said, something had to have changed for their business decision making to go forward like this.
Well, there's certainly an environmental aspect of this that we need to explore, and we'll be doing that in our next segment. But Reed Frazier, who covers the environment for Allegheny Front, but who also understands how these plants operate, thank you so much for your insight into this. And again, Pittsburgh Business Times reporter Matt Stroud, he broke the story and has certainly as much insight as anybody into DTE's decision to shut down the Shenango Coke plant on Neville Island next month. Gentlemen, thank you both for being with us. Happy holidays. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Paul.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the closure of the Shenango Coke plant next month, and in this segment, looking specifically at how it will impact the environment. I'm joined now by environmental activist Ted Popovich. He is co-founder of the Allegheny County Clean Air Now, and is with us in studio. Ted Popovich, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also joining us is Dr. Albert Presto of the Department of Mechanical Engineering at Carnegie Mellon University, who studied pollution and polluters in Pittsburgh for some time now. Al Presto, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 with your comments and questions. Email esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh. Al Presto, we'll start with you. How has the Shenango plant contributed to air pollution in Pittsburgh?
So the Shenango Coke Works is, first we should point out, it's what we would call a point source, right? So we can have cars and trucks that are moving around, or we can have facilities that are not moving, and we call those stationary or point sources. And it's one of the bigger point sources in the county, in the region. So when you burn coal, one of the main pollutants you emit is sulfur dioxide. It's sort of the number five emitter of sulfur dioxide, where the biggest would be the Cheswick Power Plant, where it really sort of gets us its sort of notoriety, I guess, or disnotoriety, is that for a class of pollutants called air toxics, which are things that can cause cancer or other health effects, it's one of the major emitters of air toxics. So, for instance, for benzene, which is a known carcinogen. It's the number two source of benzene in the county. And if you add up all the benzene emissions from all the stationary sources in Allegheny County, Chenango coke alone accounts for about a third of them.
Wow, that's a pretty incredible stat right there. Ted Popovich, you have called the announcement that Chenango is closing an early Christmas present. Why do you say that?
First of all, we're shocked that it's actually happening for two reasons. One is we believe that we will have breathable air and that we can let our kids go outside and play and not worry about their livelihood and their health. Second, it is a negative Christmas present for the employees who are being laid off right before Christmas. I'm empathetic. I got laid off in my career, and I hope that they get a good severance, if not a retirement package. But more to the point on the air, it's we've been generating a lot of stories and people telling their stories how they've been harmed. In Ben Avon, where I have lived, there are a handful of people who have leukemia. If you go to Marie Street in Avalon, they call that Cancer Alley. And so it goes, and you have Northgate School District has the highest asthma rate in the state, and it's upwards of 40%, and studies are being done there now just to understand this rate of increase in asthma.
In our previous segment, we were talking about, in particular with Matt Stroud from Pittsburgh Business Times, about this idea that DTE, which is the company that owns Chenango, how they were trying to work with their employees to be better actors, to kind of clean up their act a little bit. Did you get the sense that that was happening at all?
No. In fact, our group was once called Neville Island Good Neighbor Committee. And I think we were the only good neighbors in that partnership. We attended meetings on a monthly basis at the Chenango plant when Steve Guzzi was plant manager. He's still there as a special manager for projects, which I guess that's going to go away. But we would meet monthly. They would tell us how a coke plant would work, all the repairs that we were doing. But the air never got cleaner. So that's why we were there. We wanted cleaner air. And they kept making all kinds of excuses as to why it wasn't happening. In my opinion, coming out of industry, not that industry, they just weren't putting their money where their mouth was as far as making the maintenance investments that they needed to do every day.
Albert Presto, talk about this, the sense that I had of the way this worked, the relationship between Chenango and county health officials with this, was that there was sort of a shell game going on, a game of hide and seek, that something... rules were being broken, and that the sense that I had from concerned citizens like Ted Popovich, as well as the county officials themselves, was that, maybe we're doing something, you know, there at certain hours of the day, we might be violating the air quality standards, but you're going to have to catch us, and we're going to do everything we can to kind of sort of play, for lack of a better term, a shell game to kind of hide this from you. Does that sum up what was going on?
I think that's one way to potentially put it, right? There's, I think for a lot of sort of industrial facilities, there's this common refrain that people think, well, they're doing whatever's worse at night, right? So a lot of the rules from the consent decree that Chenango had with the county were about, as I believe Reed was saying in the previous segment, were about opacity, right? So if you could see sort of plumes of particles coming out, that was a violation. And so you can have people read, they're called smoke readers. They can stand, you know, and look across the river at the plant and look for these opaque emissions, but you clearly can't see those at night, right? And so there's, you know, anytime you have sort of an enforcement that requires people being able to see the emissions, you know, at night, there's, you know, half the time essentially where you can't necessarily enforce those particular rules. And I think invariably people assume, well, yeah, they're just dumping stuff at night.
Well, the other thing, too, is that benzene, the chemical that was, according to, that you were mentioning mm-hmm. earlier, that is being spewed into the air, that's something that you can't see. I think you can smell it, but you can't necessarily see it, can you?
No, you cannot see it.
So,
and at atmospheric concentrations, you shouldn't be able to smell it either.
So based on what you've studied, Right. And I'm sort of basing that on things like when there's, you know, there have been in the United States railroad derailments where that chemical has been leaked into the air, and they've had to, you know, in large quantities, you're talking about, you know, people having to stay indoors. It can be very, very dangerous. In lesser amounts, it could be maybe undetected by people just, you know, going about their daily business. You're someone who has studied this. What are some of the, just when you break it down into particulate matter and other things that seep into the air, you know, what has been the footprint of Shenango in Pittsburgh environmentally?
So we've done, my group at Carnegie Mellon has done a bunch of work sort of mapping air pollution around the county. And if we're particularly focusing on, you know, sort of what they call the North Boroughs, the region around Neville Island and Bellevue and Avalon and et cetera, that's one of the areas where we saw the highest concentrations of benzene and toluene, which are both these air toxics. We see more benzene in Neville Island and communities around it than we do, for instance, in downtown Pittsburgh, you know, where there's lots and lots of traffic and lots of people and activity. Similarly, in terms of components of particulate matter that are associated with emissions from industry and truck servicing the plant, we see higher concentrations in particular on Neville Island than we do in a lot of other neighborhoods as well. So yeah, it's one of the more, you know, the Neville Island area and the communities around it are one of the more polluted areas of the county.
And Ted Popovich, this is not news to you.
It's not news at all, and there are 70,000 of us that live within 3 miles of that plant, and we're suffering from it. I might add, we talked about emissions or smoke readers. I am one of those people. And we get certified to watch for opacity changes. The newest idea on the block is the cameras that the CMU, the CREATE Lab, has set up for us. So we have a citizen's camera and also one with ACHD that watches that plant 24/7. So you can go to shenangochannel.org, and you can view what's been going on for the last 8 months. And I think that may have been the straw that broke the camel's back with DTE on this one, because we can observe them all the time. And it's high-resolution cameras. You can see stuff at night as well.
That's a very interesting observation. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Ted Popovich, who is co-founder of Allegheny County Clean Air Now, and Albert Presto, who is a professor of mechanical engineering at Carnegie Mellon University, who studied pollution and polluters in Pittsburgh, about the closing of the Shenango Coke plant and the environmental impact that this will have. And as we talked about in the previous segment, the plant may or may not be closing down. It could end up in the hands of someone else that will continue to operate it. Ted Popovich, what are your concerns about that?
That they won't do any better than what DTE is doing. It's an old plant. It's over 50 years old. And it would take a major, major investment to make that plant operate the way it should be or could be, and it's a poor return on investment. So if you're in the business world, which I once was, you go to where you have your best deal for the buck, basically. And I don't think that's a good deal for anybody.
Albert Presto, if they do shut this plant down, how do you do that? What are the steps that have to be taken in order to shut down a Coke plant? It's been operating for you know, over 50 years now.
Right. So that's a little out of my area of expertise. There is this question of whether they're going to totally shut down and decommission and tear everything down, or go into this sort of hot idle stage. And from an emission standpoint, either way, the air emissions are going to go way down, right? All these benzene emissions are associated with making Coke. They're in hot idle. They'll, you know, it depends on what fuel they're using to keep the ovens warm. They'll emit some, maybe some SO2, maybe some nitrogen oxides. But as far as then actually sort of turning the lights out and tearing it all down, that would, of course, take the emissions to zero, and then you have other issues now with this. This then would be a brownfield.
Right, and yeah, what are the other issues? What kind of environmental footprint does a plant that is closed and is being dismantled leave?
So there are definitely surface issues, right? They've spilled things on the ground, and that needs to be remediated in some way, and that would require an assessment to understand, you know, what level of remediation is needed. I also know that there have been a number of issues regarding water issues at the Shenango plant, and runoff and things like that. So there's certainly water quality issues that would have to be dealt with as well.
There's an example of that.
Paul, actually. He's thinking of my colleague, who actually is the expert.
Of remediation on Neville Island. So the Hillmans at one time owned the property at the far end of the island downstream, and that is now the RMU Sports Center.
Right.
Okay. And they gave that land to the county, the Hillmans did. And it got given back to them when it was discovered there was toxic waste. It was a toxic waste dump, basically. So they took it back, had it remediated, basically by putting a slab of concrete over top of that soil, and they have test wells bored into the ground to determine if there's any upwelling of toxics. So that whole RMU Sports Center has been remediated. So why can't you do something like that at the other end of the island? Why can't, since DTE is an energy company, why don't they put in solar arrays? They just, a press announcement just came out, they're putting in the largest solar array, utility-owned solar array, east of the Mississippi and Michigan. We'll take that.
We're down to about just a few seconds here. What is your sense, Ted, of what the air is going to be like now if this plant does shut down in January and stays shut? We've got about 30 seconds.
The air won't be stinky. I can open up my windows and breathe normally. I have cardiovascular disease. I don't have to worry about getting AFib one more time, which that's happened to me since I've lived there. I won't have to worry. I'll have a smile on my face more often.
And what have the residents there said to you about this?
They're in disbelief. They don't really believe it's going to happen. Because we've been talking about it for so long that something needs to happen. And I said, well, let's wait and see. They're being doubting Thomas's at the moment, but they love the idea.
Well, I'm sure many people will. And unfortunately, it's costing jobs of the employees who've been there for years and years. But that is the good and the bad of the Shenango Coke plant closing. We've been talking about that with Ted Popovich, who is co-founder of Allegheny County Clean Air Now, and Albert Presto, of the Department of Mechanical Engineering at Carnegie Mellon University. Thanks to both of you for being here and taking part in this conversation. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Steeler Will Allen joins us to talk about his charitable foundation and what it's doing to make Christmas possible for underprivileged kids. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.